this week. Do words have the power to manifest your individual or group realities? Watch your thoughts. They become words. We'll take a look at the topic in an article on the power of the spoken word in Freemasonry. Then, a quick message from the WCY podcast on this special month. Finally, we'll wrap it up with a short interview with Right Worshipful Brother Alex Powers, all about the upcoming MasonicCon Kansas. Who's going to be there? What are the topics? Why is it unique? And a whole lot more. If you're excited about bringing large Masonic education to the Midwest, don't miss it. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 548. I want to thank our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners for all of your assistance in bringing Masonic education to anyone interested in the royal art. If you are curious on how you can help the WCY podcast continue its mission to bring Masonic education to the world, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and see how you can help. Additional options include a shop where we sell limited edition items that we procure and make here at the podcast, and we also have a bookstore where all of the books that are by the people on the show who have been guests, my own personal recommended readings, as well as books recommended by our guests are all there, and all of them are Amazon affiliate links. So as an Amazon associate, WCY Podcast earns a small percentage of the sales from qualifying purchases. And certainly, it doesn't cost you any more. It just throws a few pennies back to the program. Thanks again for your future support. In the news, I wanted to mention a few things that are pretty fantastic that are coming up. Of course, the Rubicon Society is going to be having Mark St. Cyr as a speaker, and that is pretty darn exciting. So if you're interested, you should check out the Rubicon Society's website, RubiconMasonicSociety.com. Check out the details. I think you can just fill out a Zoom web invite. They'll ask you a little bit of information about your lodge or lack thereof, and they'll get you in contact with getting all of your login information so that you can check out Mark St. Cyr's presentation for the Rubicon Society. I'm really excited for Esotericon happening here in just a few days. It's going to be a very amazing conference with never before heard presentations and the most amazing guests, and of course swag that you can imagine. I worked on some swag as well for the conference, which will be revealed at the conference and for the in-person attendees only. And my thanks goes out to everyone who purchased tickets to the Esotericon event, and of course the planners of Esotericon being John Ruark, Joe Martinez, Kevin Homan, and Jason Richards for all of the amazing support that they have done to make this conference happen year after year, and one of the highlights of my Masonic life year after year. Even though Esotericon is not quote-unquote Masonic, you know, we just happen to have a lot of Masons there, but it is of course open to anybody, which is pretty fantastic. For those of you out there who are interested in tarot and tarot readings and things, of course you can check out WCYpodcast.com, click on tarot, and you'll see I've got a couple things out there for you guys. If you guys are interested, I can do a quick past, present, future presentation for you, as well as other services. If you're interested, you can also follow me on TikTok at The Wizard of Arge, which is a name my wife made up for the channel. But essentially, I do tarot reviews of different decks. And of course, the cool part is behind the scenes on the WCY podcast production and the things we're working on. So thanks for the follow if you head on over there to check that out. Now, the first piece I have for you this week is called The Power of the Spoken Word in Freemasonry by Pamela McDown. It was originally published on February 23rd, 2018. And I really like this one. So let's check it out. Quote, "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habit. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." Lao Tzu. According to Tzu, the very essence of what it means to become a consciously creative person begins with examining the content of thoughts and words. How does speech have the power to shape our inner and outer universe? How is the spoken word significant to a Freemason? The ancient mystery schools, speech and sound were considered divine energy in motion and a type of vibration that could be harnessed in creative work. The entire universe was understood to be under the control of men and gods who knew the power of sacred speech and how to harmonize the ideal and the material worlds in accordance with the divine plan. Somewhere along the way, the teaching about the magical force of words has been lost. And yes, we have been lost ever since. It was felt in those earlier times that it was the initiate's duty to restore the lost language. Just as Masons are in search of the lost word and have found it not, initiates also used a substitute language until this inner word could be reestablished. It may well be said that the knowledge of words, of speech, and of sound is perhaps the most carefully guarded secrets of all the ancient mysteries. Do words have a far greater implication than normally conceived? A perspective from Albert Pike. In Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, he has volumes to say on the subject. There is no doubt the book is dense with wisdom. So much so, I find myself studying a paragraph for hours on end to fully grasp it. It's almost as if you have to look at Pike's writings as its ancients looked upon cryptic messages. Recently, I read a chapter where Brother Pike was examining the following passage from Scripture. Quote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." End quote. John 1, 1-3, King James Version. I realized how casually I had looked at this well-known Bible verse before, and how much more could be revealed. Looking beyond the religious overtones, there was a great mystery of the Word, all caps, that Pike explains. It's something out of a deep esoteric playbook. The Word did not cease at the single act of creation, but set in motion the absolute potential for man to become a divine creator in his own life circumstances. Could this passage be a formula for creative work? Pike says, quote, "The Word conducts and controls the universe, all spheres, all worlds, all actions of mankind, and of every animate and inanimate creature." End quote. In short, the goal of the Word is to become flesh and dwell among men. God and the Word are one and the same. They are with each other. All good stuff. Now, I realized that the theological distinction between the Word and a Word had always escaped me. The words we speak are not the Word, but it is possible that every word spoken has the potential to align with the Word. Speech carries intention, force, and information. We long for words like love, truth, beauty, strength, and justice to become flesh and dwell among us. Words and speech are the initiating forces behind all things. What can a Freemason learn from this idea? How are words and actions related? A Freemason suits action to word. In Masonic circles, we hear the phrase suiting action to word, which can mean that a person will do what he claims and deliver on his promises and obligations. Masons are charged to make a conscious effort to integrate Masonic philosophies into daily behavior, appearance, and words to others. In the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path, right speech appears in third place, preceded only by right belief and right intentions, and immediately followed by right actions. Thus, the way we speak is of vital importance, not just for our moral reasons, but also because communication is one of the most powerful means whereby we can intelligently change the world around us. Spoken words are especially significant to anyone who has undergone a ceremony blindfolded. For me, it was only through intense listening to the words of the Masonic officers that I knew what was happening. Even decades after some degree work, entire lines from the ritual are still memorable. I remember vividly the sacredness of words that have been laid upon my heart. Right speech, when properly executed, is one of the most powerful and mysterious activities. An example of what it can mean to suit action to word can be seen in the life of the immortal Goethe, poet and Freemason. He changed inquiring minds around him by breathing enlightened ideas into the many of his writings. With his last breath, Brother Goethe cried the immortal phrase, "Light, more light." These words for a Freemason are powerful, worthy of opening and inspiring a life as well as closing it in death. There is no doubt to me that beyond the confines of his dark room, his invocation was answered, and there showered upon him a brilliance of light such as no mortal could see. Some accounts of Goethe's last moments say that when he spoke his last words, a ray of light shot through the shutters of the window. Light, Goethe's spoken word of power and his service to mankind. In the end, light was all he craved. Symbolically, the highest of blessings, not money, not fame, but a glimpse of the treasures of eternity. Maybe the real secret of right speech is to truly recognize and respect the authority that words carry. As we have seen in the writings of Pike, there is more to language than meets the eye, or ear. To delve into its mysteries just might reveal some extraordinary truths about the world we live in. Quote, "Here Masonry pauses and leaves its initiates to carry out and develop these great truths in such manner as to each may seem most accordant with reason, philosophy, truth, and his religious faith." End quote. Albert Pike. Of course, again, this was written by Pamela McDowne. I really like this piece because it talks about the kind of mystic intent behind words. They become actions, just as Lao Tzu says. Now, could this be a ancient kind of correlation to what we later learn to be the law of attraction or even the secret? Maybe, right? We have many different philosophies across various religious organizations and philosophical circles that allude to the idea that words have actions, and certainly ritual is no different. My question for the Craftsman Plus here is, do you feel that words, in fact, do have a sort of greater power than even the cursory suggested, "I say it and then I do it"? Could there be a sort of magical, if not physics-based explanation to words and subsequent action or manifestation? Now, next up, I did want to address something here that I think is important to address. If you're not into this, feel free to fast forward or whatever you want to do. But it is Pride Month, and I just want to extend a happy Pride Month to all of our listeners out there who reside in the LGBTQ community, as well as their supporters. There have been multiple people posting about Pride Month and things all over the web and on places for Freemasonry, including the Grand Lodge of England's messaging that they sent out at the beginning of the month, which people reposted and had been subsequently removed from certain Grand Lodge websites and such. Not so much for the content or for being supportive of the community, but rather because of the overtly homophobic and unintellectual retorts from those people who tend to sit in our lodges that are brothers, but I might put them in air quotes, quite the amount of vitriol with this. And so I'm not going to debate that other than to say I think it was just wrong of them to do. Something I was proud of was a few years ago, we had Grandmaster Tony Krakow. There was a whole, big, giant mess that happened when a couple of states passed bylaws at the Grand Lodge level which banned any member who was gay or bisexual. And you could read about those in the show notes. I'll drop links to them. However, I will only read one small segment of a transcript from my own grandmaster, a past grandmaster, living grandmaster, he's the treasurer of the Grand Lodge of Illinois, past grandmaster Tony Krakow, who I really look up to and I feel had probably one of the greatest moves and declarations in Masonry because it took a lot of guts to do it. And he did the right thing, even though it wasn't as popular as there were a number of brothers who felt that he was out of line for saying something. But if you go to the WindyCityTimes.com, a local paper picked up the article after it had already made the NPR, which NPR, National Public Radio, can listen to the story in a 3-minute listen they have there. It's by Christopher Blank. And the title of the article was, "For Freemasons, Is Banning Gays or Being Gay Un-Masonic?" In my opinion, you know, banning them is un-Masonic. Being gay, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I thought was interesting here was when the Windy City Times picked up Grandmaster Krakow's comments a few years ago. And the Windy City Times is actually, it's what's considered the voice of Chicago's gay, lesbian, bi, trans, and queer community since 1985. And so it says, the head of the Grand Lodge of Illinois Freemasons has publicly opposed actions by Grand Lodges in Tennessee and Georgia who banned gay members. On March 26th, Grand Master Anthony R. Krakow wrote on the Grand Lodge of Illinois' website that the ban upheld in Tennessee 2 days earlier, quote, is not consistent with Masonic principles. It contradicts the open and inclusive culture that is the foundation of Masonry, which unites men of various geographic, religious, ethnic, socioeconomic, etc. backgrounds. We purposely bring good men together to collectively improve ourselves, serve our Masonic family, and support our communities," end quote. He added, the influence of individual religious beliefs on the actions of these two grand lodges is not appropriate for Masonry and has no place in the governance of its members. It is through the religious tolerance and acceptance taught in Masonry that enables brothers from various faiths to see past differences, to look for what matters most, a brother's good heart and upright actions, end quote. Krakow nevertheless said that he respected the sovereignty of the Tennessee and Georgia chapters, since membership matters within Freemasons are usually determined state by state, but that has not stopped Washington, D.C., California, from suspending relations with Tennessee and Georgia, according to one Tennessean. The Tennessee Freemasons voted to uphold the vote March 24th in a closed meeting in Nashville. Last fall, the Grand Lodge of Tennessee suspended two members, Dennis Clark and Mark Henderson of Somersville, Tennessee, after they got married. The Georgia ban was implemented on September in 2015 and upheld the following month. Clark told the Tennessean that he had received encouragement from members across the country. The vast majority are absolutely appalled, said Clark. The opinion of the fraternity itself should remain as positive as ever. Krakow's statement was at ilmason.org. And so that was a few years ago. I really don't know the status of those two bans, if they're still enacted in Tennessee and Georgia. If they are, that's a real bummer. If they aren't, then good for them. They've moved on and become the actual thing that we say we are, progressive moral science. In any case, if you head on over to the Freemasons of Queensland website, you can click on the FAQ, or the Frequently Asked Questions, and click on the Becoming a Freemason. And the third question is, can gay men become Freemasons? And it says, yes, we do not consider it our place to inquire into sexual preferences. Integrity and ethical behavior in relationships are the important thing. End of story. You know, why don't more Grand Lodges throw something like this up on their website? That might go a long way. Of course, I'll put links to these separate little articles out there for you all, because I don't want to inundate you with it, and I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but you know where I stand. Lastly, before I move on to the next topic, I just would say there was a wonderful article that was published on the Midnight Freemasons a couple of times. That's right, it got reposted. It was by Brother Jason Richards and a guest contributor, Brother John Ruark, and they wrote an article called Is Homosexuality Un-Masonic? We may have even read it on the podcast. It's not some long piece. It's seven whole paragraphs. And, you know, TLDR, or the too long didn't read, if you're curious, is no, it is not un-Masonic. Conversely, not accepting of people the way they are may be what is un-Masonic. Now, let's get into this little extra segment we recorded with Right Worshipful Brother Alex Powers. All right, guys, we're really lucky. We've got a little segment here that we can bring on Brother Alex Powers, the director of the Kansas Lodge of Research and the main driving force behind Historical Light, a Masonic podcast that you can catch basically everywhere podcasts are streamed. Right Worshipful Brother Alex, thanks for hopping on the call.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
A lot of people don't know. I mean, sometimes I think it feels like people who might be tuning into the Howard Stern show, in that, like, they don't know that, yeah, I've got Alex Powers on as a guest, but also that Alex and I, plus our wives and our kids, are all, like, family fun. You know, we all know each other really well, and we hang out. And we've got meme groups and all kinds of all kinds of cool stuff. You know, we talk every single day. So I wanted to get Alex on because I wanted to talk to him and I wanted to let you guys all know a little bit of cool information about something that's happening a little later on this year. And to give a little bit of insight on that, we're going to talk about the MasonicCon Kansas event, which will be the end of August. So August 27th, happening in the KC metro area. So Alex, congratulations on planning this huge event. It's going to be amazing, huh?
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's approaching fast. It's been over a year that we've been planning this thing, and it feels like 3 months. So it's coming quick.
A lot of people always assume that these events are being planned by really highly and successful lodges, but really it's just a small handful of brothers making it happen. And for better or for worse, it does take a toll on you, and man, does it pick up speed. And then all of a sudden it's here and you're freaking out, and then it happens and it's amazing. And so I know it's going to be great. I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the speakers and panelists, what people can hope to see when they come to MasonicCon Kansas. So first of all, who can come to MasonicCon Kansas? Is it Master Masons only, Fellow Crafts, Profane? What are we talking about?
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Absolutely anybody.
What? That's so cool.
Yeah. So the whole thing with our spiel here is all the talks are going to be public friendly. So we want to have anybody and everybody that has an interest in Freemasonry to be able to come to this event and gain something from it. So obviously, you know, Freemasons are going to be the main demographic present. However, if you're into esoterics, Freemasonry, history, you'll have something to gain from this. So this is going to be quite the event for our area.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think in particular, we get so much Masonry that happened up in the Northeast, you know, with Ryan Simmons and MasonicCon.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
the Godfather.
Yeah, he's the grandfather, yeah. And then we've got his protege, Ryan Flynn, has taken over, and he brought it over to his state. And then we've got, like, Esotericon that's happening. But all this stuff's either on the East Coast or the West Coast. And there's really not a lot that happens in the Midwest. And I think in particular, the KC metro area is a great venue for this. MasonicCon Chicago was a great venue. You know, we didn't do it this year because we're like kind of alternating years with the South Pasadena MasonicCon because we both kind of go in the September, July area. But I'm really excited to have this additional piece that's happening in the Midwest. And I'm hearing from all kinds of brothers from Southern Illinois, even, which, you know how hard it is. My brothers who are listening in Southern Illinois might be fans of the show or whatever. And I'm not dogging on y'all, but you know, some of you are really dedicated and you'll come all the way up this way, but some of you won't, but you're going to drive to Kansas. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see you guys there. I know a lot of guys from the capital area, Springfield and things, are really excited about heading down there. I'm hearing from guys that never go to conferences that they're going to MasonicCon Kansas. So,
well, you know what's funny about that, because we're experiencing kind of the same thing here, in the fact that I feel like we have more brothers traveling in for this event than we do Kansas Masons attending, which kind of blew my mind. But the tickets that are selling, I mean, we have guys traveling all over coming into this. Come on, Kansas, step your game up.
For real, right? But they always say, you know, you're never a prophet in your hometown, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, a lot of times, it's hard to even get sometimes our Grand Lodge buy-in. But I'm glad that you've been working with Darren Kellerman and some of the other Grand Lodge leadership in Kansas to really make this happening and just a killer.
Yeah. Event. Yeah. No, so, they're excited for it. And I think we have an awesome opportunity here. Being in the KC Metro, for those of you listening that don't understand the demographic of Kansas City, yeah, we have two sides, just kind of a river that divides us. So there's Kansas and there's Missouri. But a lot of the Masonry in Kansas kind of navigates towards the KC area. It's kind of the larger portion of the state, more demographically populated. So we have an interesting opportunity here, not to just get the Kansas Masons to this, but We also have the Missouri Masons that we're all really close with and visit very often. And I think it's going to prove to be quite the event and be a really great and unique opportunity to bring these brothers together. And yeah, we've been super fortunate to have the Grand Lodge on our side and, you know, amped up for this event as well. So that definitely helps.
I love that you have Brother Darren Kellerman as kind of the MC for the event. That's awesome. He's definitely a hoot, really funny, awesome guy. So excited.
He's got the personality for it, for sure.
You know, and it takes such a unique type of personality to take on what he's done. I mean, he's a past grandmaster and he's a younger guy. He's like, I don't know how to describe him. Just like he's the guy you meet and you instantly are like, I like this guy. But you've got a whole slew of speakers too. You got 8 speakers. Who do we have?
Man, yeah. So like you said, we got Kellerman MC in this thing. We have Brother Michael Jarzabek coming in from Massachusetts, Brother Robert Marshall coming up from Texas. Brother Jonte Gold, who is our representative of the Prince Hall Grand Lodge of Kansas. Brother Brian Simmons, the godfather of MasonicCons, is coming down from Massachusetts, of course.
Right on.
The one and only Robert Johnson.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
He's coming to join us. We've got Patrick Carr, who is our one guy from our Grand Lodge of Kansas. Joe Martinez is coming out here from Virginia. And Brother Nicholas Lane coming all the way down from Canada. Canadian.
Oh, man. This is truly a really blended event. The fact that we got Jonte Gold, we've got Grand Lodge Kansas, we've got Brother Nicholas Lane from Canada, and people who don't know, like, so I'm on the education committee in Illinois. I also work as a creative director for education under Mike Jarzabek. Robert Marshall's involved in education and the Kansas Lodge of Research. Patrick Carr with the Grand Lodge Kansas. You got Joe Martinez as a DEO over in Virginia. I mean, you got all these, you got a bunch of really cool guys. How was it? This is probably one of the only times that I've seen a MasonicCon that took advantage of bringing brothers together. So with Worship of Brother Jonte Gold, for instance, how is the relationship between Prince Hall in Kansas and how did that come about? Like, I mean, I assume you guys hit it off and he's going to come out and do a great talk, but I was curious about that for brothers who are thinking about planning these events in the future to opening it up to a further demographic.
Yeah, 100%. I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, not to get on a side tangent here, but Kansas has really a special and unique stance with our Prince Hall connection. It's fantastic. Since I've came in, I think it was mid to late 90s, they actually came together and signed a compact. And since that very beginning, it has been 100% recognized and 100% visitation. You can cross join everything. So we try to be as fully integrated as possible. And, you know, there's some of those guys out there that talk about, you know, Prince Hall just merging with us. And that's not what it's about. Prince Hall has a wonderful history on their side, just as we do. Really where that ticket's at is seeing that they're brothers, just like our brothers in Missouri and our brothers in Illinois and everywhere else. And as long as we recognize one another and I can show up to their meetings, they can show up to mine. Let's just be brothers. Just because it's another jurisdiction does not matter. So Kansas has been really phenomenal in our cross-jurisdictional relationship between our Grand Lodge and the Prince Hall Grand Lodge. And we're always trying to do stuff together, big events with Grand Lodge and in between. So I had to integrate it here with MasonicCon. It's just what we do here.
I love that. Because I think oftentimes we just assume that somebody will request to come, or if I don't reach out, you know, to find a speaker on the Prince Hall side, like it's kind of like when people say, oh, I'm upset that you didn't call. It's like, well, the phone works both ways, buddy. You know, and it's really cool that you guys understand that you can have that cross communication. And I think what that means for the future of cons essentially is that we should actively on both sides say, hey, I need a speaker to come over, you know, and like encourage this, because then it really normalizes the relationship. Not that we need the normalization, but in a sad sense, we do, because I think in a lot of jurisdictions, that's it's still something that's like taboo, I guess. you know, for whatever reason. But moving on from that, one of the other things I was going to mention is that previous to COVID, there really wasn't a whole lot we could do with these conventions and the presentations in a digital way. I think a few years ago, MasonicCon in Attleboro, Mass, they put some up that were able to go through Facebook, and they were cool. However, I think we did a hybrid approach for MasonicCon Chicago, which went okay. It was kind of on the, or a couple months leading up to it, we said, all right, here's how we're going to do it. And it was just a ragtag A-team approach to putting on a virtual version. And so we've, I think, learned a lot since then between seeing how we did it with EsoterraCon and how Brian has done it. And now you've also added a virtual pass too. You've got a whole slew of different ticket types, from a virtual pass, which is a virtual pass, but you also get the swag bag, I guess, right?
That's right, yeah.
So that's really cool. I always love the swag that comes with the MasonicCons. It's unique, and you have, if you're like me, you've got a hanger that's got nothing but lanyards from Masonic conventions on it, right?
Yeah.
Illustrious Brother Harrison is one of the people who got me started collecting them. Before, I would just kind of toss them out, and now I have a small collection. So, but you've got a virtual pass that comes with the swag. You have a day pass that comes with the swag. You've got a day pass if you don't want anything. You've also got a virtual pass if you don't want anything. Super affordable, like $15 if you want to just, I mean, that's like a trip to Taco Bell.
Right.
And you get a full day's worth of education. That's slick. So,
you know, big thing is we wanted to open it up for everybody. And, you know, it's one of those things that some people want to tune in, but they don't really care about the swag and the goodies that come with it. Somebody, you know, some of those guys just want everything. And we wanted to kind of cater to everybody and say, hey, this event has something for you. We want you to come and join us, however that best fits your situation and your interests. But we want you there.
Great messaging. I have to say, I think the best value, and, you know, I'm not biased here. Of course, I'm going to be there. But I really like your Founders Club. Here's why. I think so much of Masonry is lost without a festive board.
Right.
I love the festive board. It's one of the key things that... What the fuck is his name?
Please tell me you're keeping that in there.
Whitehall Smith, no. I might. It's one of the key things that Dwight L. Smith, who wrote Whither Are We Traveling way back in the day, he wrote a huge chunk of this paper about the lack of the festive board and how important it is to keep that within the Masonic meeting structure. So for everybody out there, look, the Founders Club is the day, a whole day event, plus a festive board. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know how many times I've been to a Masonic dinner that had nothing to do with Masonry besides like just a dinner and I'm seeing my bros and it's $50. So think about a $50 dinner. And then if you're going to show up for a day pass, it's $75 for the ticket, $50 for a meal, right? $125 for the Founders Club. And you also get the swag bag basically for free.
To kind of delve on that, Founders Club, obviously, we hope to hold these events in the future as well. But this is our first year, and that it's the Founders Club is the all-in kind of package. So basically, you buying in and coming to join this, you're going to have that one chance to be our originating group, right? So we're trying to make it a little special in that sense that even though we may have festive boards in the future, this is the Founders Club. So we're actually adding that to our cannons, to the coasters that it's coming with, just kind of that special memento that you were one of the first ones to endeavor in this in Kansas with us. But this is the all-in package. So you get everything there is from the swag, the day event, virtual access afterwards, and join us for the dinner, which is going to be epic. We've got a prime rib buffet coming with professional caterers. Of course, the wine toasts. You get all the swag. Plus, if you're on that Founders Club and you come to the festive board, you also get the firing cannon, which, in all honesty, is a really sweet whiskey glass this year, and an acacia coaster that is specially engraved as well with the logo and Founders Club underneath it. So, all in all, it's turning out to be quite the event with some really cool goodies coming along.
And some of those goodies are done by this real super cool guy who likes to make things also. He's a maker in his free time. So
Man.
I'm outing Alex here as somebody who's got a hobby. He's a hobbyist maker also. So he's created these really great coasters that he's put together at no small cost to himself. I know how this stuff goes because I do it myself. But as a labor of love for the craft, you've done an excellent job. I got to see these coasters already. Alex did a phenomenal job. That's really cool, man. I'm excited.
I appreciate that. You know, and I have to throw it out there, not just to Brian, Brother Brian Simmons up in Attleboro, who kind of launched this off for me and really set me on this path in masonry that just honestly changed my Masonic experience forever, but to yourself as well, brother, because Attleboro is special. I should say Ezekiel Bates. Ezekiel Bates Lodge up there is very special, and Brian works his butt off on pulling those events together. But at the end of the day, they had a team behind it. They were lucky enough to have a lodge that came together and had a lot of hardworking brothers to bring that together. When I had the opportunity to come out to MasonicCon Chicago with yourself, see how you pulled that event together, that was largely you that pulled that together. And man, that just motivated me and showed me the opportunity there. You did an amazing job and really opened my eyes to needing to bring this back home and introduce it to our brothers in Kansas, because there's so much to gain from it. So I want to thank you for, you know, opening my eyes to that and pulling off such an amazing event up there. And I'm hoping that we can do even a smidge of that down here.
I think you will. You have already more support than we had, but I appreciate your comments. Of course, Brian Simmons up there in Attleboro, Massachusetts, and the whole of Ezekiel Bates Lodge. Yeah, totally. I'm with you. They changed the Masonic experience for me. It was crazy. There's every year Alex and I go up there, there's been a story. We've got an Alex and RJ story. We've got more Alex stories than RJ stories, but
unfortunately,
I think if you come to MasonicCon Kansas, I will give you 3 short version Alex stories for the cost of nothing.
They're a doozy.
Yeah, if it's going to cost you lapel pins if you want some of the better stories. But tell us about the venue, because you've got a unique venue this year also.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of this stuff just kind of happened, just kind of came together in the beginning. I'm a history guy, and I love the old temples, and we have some amazing ones here in Kansas, and that's where I was looking at originally. But you're trying to put it together of, okay, an amazing temple that will also house as many brothers as you're expecting and have the right kind of amenities to pull this off. We're talking proper bathroom facilities, Wi-Fi, this type of stuff. And those amazing lodges that are really cool to look at are kind of like in BFE here in Kansas. And then the ones that are like, oh, that'd be really cool, there's like no parking or anything. And it's like, really hard to pull this together. So we had one lodge that we were planning on that would have been perfect, but no internet. And trying to pull that off, just get internet installed and all this, was just proving to be the biggest headache. And just so happened, skies opened up and there is a office facility that opened themselves up to us in the KC Metro in Prairie Village. And being an office facility, they have all the, you know, proper bathroom amenities, proper space, but they have this huge classroom area that has all the tech that we could want or need for this type of event already there. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to, you know, bring it in. It's just ready to go. And it's kind of more than we would even have imagined a place there. So it's really a special opportunity.
Yeah, that's exciting. I think a lot of times we have such struggles with technology and Masonic lodges. I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone to a lodge and I have been saved because I have decided to bring a ground plug.
Yeah, right.
You know, going from just, you know, 2-prong to a 3-prong converter, because I'm not going to tell you that I know that Alex for real has like just ripped the ground plug out of a thing before. But anyway.
True story.
True confessions of a Masonic lecturer.
That's right.
Aside from the cool venue, you've got a number of sponsors and vendors who have agreed to be there. Like, I know we've got a few sponsors in the Craftsman's Apron. We've got Amity, it looks like. Busy Brew will be there, maybe.
That's right, yeah.
So really cool. People can go to the website, MasonicConKansas.com/ sponsors dash vendors to check that out. You can contact Alex, I think, if you want to do. Do you have more space for vendors and sponsors?
Yeah, if you're interested and want to get online with us, we would love to have you as part of this event. So definitely hit us up. powers@kansasmason.org. I would love to chat with you and get you on board. And I also don't want to let it go without listing, in addition to all these speakers that we're bringing in, which is really kind of amazing for Kansas, because Kansas holds some great events, but it's typically all Kansas guys that are speaking there. They may bring in one. We're literally flying all these guys in. We only got two guys on this whole panel that are from Kansas, one from our Grand Lodge, one from the Prince Hall Grand Lodge. Everyone else, we're flying in from every which way. So that's a really unique thing for Kansas. But then a huge part of these Masonic Cons that I've always truly enjoyed is right at the end, we always hold this discussion panel right at the end there. And that's always been really a pivotal point for me, because those discussions, that dialogue is huge within Masonry. I wanted to do one of those, but then we decided not just one, we're going to do two of those. So we got two epic discussion panels that are being built in. And we haven't released the topics of those just yet, but I'll tell you one of those discussion panels is going to be the ladies, and it's going to be a pretty cool discussion to take place. So you'll want to be there for that one.
That sounds awesome. I'm glad you're doing that. Get some great perspective in there. But eight speakers, two panels, festive board, swag, not to mention...
It's a long day.
It is a long day. However, I mean, think about this. Aside from all these things, there's not another... It's not like you can wait and get the same kind of guarantee for the fellowship you're going to have at the event. You know what I mean? At the risk of sounding like a sales pitch, I'd say, you know, buy your ticket now. I don't know if you guys have space requirements, but I'm sure you're going to hit it.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the event, man. And like I said, the fact that we're flying in all these speakers is kind of groundbreaking for Kansas. We haven't done that before. And just the magnitude of variety of Masonic education that that's going to bring to Kansas is amazing. And then seeing that all these guys are traveling in from everywhere. I mean, we've got a handful alone coming in from Colorado. It's going to be such a cool event to have all these guys brought together right here in the Midwest. But of course, flying in all these guys, holding that nice of a dinner, and all this swag comes with a cost, especially flying in Robert Johnson. That guy wants, you know, first class and
first class amenities, brown and green M&Ms only.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wants his dressing room at 72 degrees precisely.
That's right. With a cross breeze east to west.
Yeah. So to pull all that off, guys, we need you to buy some tickets, but it's going to be great event with just a ton of people there. It's going to be awesome.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think this has been a long time coming. You've been dreaming about something like this for a long time. And, you know, you dream about it, you think about it, you get emotional, and you make it happen. And you did it. And I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of everything you've been able to accomplish here. This is awesome. So I just want to say thanks for doing it, number one. I'm honored to be, you know, just a small part of the thing that's going to help make this happen. You know, I'm going to be working as well as doing whatever I can for you while we're there. But everybody who's listening, go to the website, MasonicConKansas.com, and get your tickets now. Well, even if you just grab a virtual, no swag, $15 ticket, I mean, that's worth it alone on the off chance. Maybe you're out all day. You're like, oh no, that's going to be the one day we've got to go do all these errands. Well, I mean, you got data on your phone. Log in, watch the sessions while you're sitting in the car with the air conditioning on, eating your ice cream cone, getting your learn on. I think that offers that kind of flexibility here. And if you can make it out there and you want to hear some stories about Alex and make his face turn red, then buy the Founders Club. I'll tell you a story.
Right. That's right.
Anyway,
we'll get a few cannon fires in RJ, and all will spill.
Oh God, you don't want that. I got a funny story about the time I had one too many cannon fires, and then said thanks to the wrong city. But anyway, Alex, thanks for doing this, man. Everybody listening, again, MasonicConKansas.com. Alex, anything else you want to tell our listeners before we sign out?
You know, I just want to thank you, RJ, for all you do for Masonry in general. You've paved the way for so much, and you've been inspiration to so many of us, including myself. So thank you, man, for everything you do.
It's a never-ending, just inspirational wave that we all have, and I'm just glad that we can share it together. So,
thank you.
One more time, I want to give a thanks to Alex Powers for taking a few minutes to sit with us and talk a little bit about Kansas Masonicon. We're going to have links to all of that in the show notes. I will, of course, be down there, so I'm really, again, I'm hoping you come by and you want to get an Alex story, come talk to me. It should be a fantastic event. I'm really looking forward to it. Every couple days, we get a new announcement of some people who are, their speaker topics are going to be revealed, including mine. Stay tuned. Should be right around the corner. So once again, thanks to Brother Alex and the Grand Lodge of Kansas for all the help that they're doing in putting this stuff together. It's really fantastic. Before I leave you, at the moment of recording this, I want to just give a quick shout out. I don't know if you'll ever hear this or what, but Right Worshipful Brother Joe Farrell, who is our senior Grand Warden, recently put up a post on the Grand Lodge of Illinois Facebook page. And Brother Joe said, "As a reminder, our Grand Lodge of Illinois AF and AM does not discriminate against race, color, creed, orientation, or religion. Let's start acting like brothers and good men again." And I loved that because I feel that in his messaging, he is clear in stating where we stand while not putting it up for debate. So to Right Worshipful Brother Joe Farrell, I want to thank you for your continued commitment toward Freemasonry, making all men better who choose this path and who find themselves worthy enough to come into a Masonic lodge. It really does mean a whole lot to so many of us. That's it for this week. I want to go ahead and give a shout out and a thanks to all of our contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners. I want to give a special little shout out to Brother Chris Stebbins. I wanted to publicly thank you for all of your support and for everything you're doing up there in your neck of the woods to support this great fraternity. That's it. I'll talk to you guys all next week after Esotericon. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.